Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, June 5th. President Trump's proposed budget has been called Robin Hood in reverse, where programs for the poor are cut so corporations can get tax breaks. In Colorado, that story plays out in cuts to SNAP, or food stamps. Eric Galatis has this story.
Even a 25% cut to SNAP, enough to leave thousands more in Colorado hungry, can't make the White House budget math add up, according to new analysis. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says President Trump's first budget would slash the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly food stamps, by nearly $200 billion. For Colorado, that would mean nearly $200 million fewer dollars a year for food aid for families. Jacob Liebenluft with the center calls the budget Robin Hood in reverse. It steals from the poor to give to the rich.
Historically, deep cuts in nutrition programs and programs for people with disabilities, and at the same time, historically large tax cuts for the wealthiest and large corporations.
White House budget officials argue the cuts are needed to reduce the budget deficit by spurring economic growth. But Liebenluft says the Trump administration is overstating what the plan would do and using fake math. Congress will have the final word on most budget items. Liebenluft says the theory is iffy that tax cuts will pay for themselves through more revenue from faster growth. Then he says the budget even counts that added revenue twice, once to offset the tax cuts,
but then use that growth a second time around to further reduce the deficit. So double count growth that many people would say wouldn't even be created by the tax plan in the first place.
He describes it as a budget illusion, a magic trick to hide tax cuts for the wealthy.
Even with incredibly deep cuts to programs that support health and nutrition, they can't get even close to a balanced budget, and this really hides that basic fact.
He points out the SNAP cuts would land hard on working families in areas that supported Trump. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Mining in the 1880s was dangerous. In Crested Butte, the largest mining disaster of its time happened in the Jokerville mine, about a quarter mile from the center of town. This summer, the town plans to recognize and memorialize the tragedy for the first time since a mass grave was dug to house the bodies of the dead. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio member station KBUT in Crested Butte, Chad Rich has more on the Jokerville mine explosion and the plans for remembrance.
A new memorial to honor miners that perished in an explosion at the Jokerville mine in 1884 is in the works. The Jokerville mine was located, as the story goes, about one quarter mile west of the center of the town of Crested Butte. The memorial is to be placed at the mass grave, where it's estimated that 58 to 60 miners were buried in the cemetery just outside of town. Jim Deli Schmidt is on the cemetery committee.
When you think about, you know, it was the worst mining disaster in Colorado when it happened, and how almost the memory is of how callous people were towards life at that time, or how rough it was, that you just had to say, this is what happens, and you move ahead. Probably more that than just being callous of life.
Deli says the memorial is all about honor.
Yeah, when the bank blew up here, 89-90, there were three young ladies who I knew who died. The town felt very strongly. We named a park in their honor. And to think that there was really nothing in the honor of these 58 or 60 men who died at that time kind of makes you really wonder, you know, we should do something about that. The town should do something about that.
Deli went on to say the gravesite was barely marked and that the three miners whose names are actually mentioned on gravestones were likely bosses or foremen, leaving the other 50-some miners without any sort of proper recognition. The mine exploded on January 24th, 1884. When the town of Crested Butte was only 4 years old. Western State Colorado University history professor Dr. Dwayne Vandenbush presented on the tragedy at Town Hall a few weeks back.
The men working in chambers 1 and 2 were all killed immediately because they thought, and figured out that the explosion in the mine had occurred in chamber number 2. Badly mutilated bodies were taken out. Others died because the fan providing ventilation had been wiped out. Now, Johnny Cashion led 11 men 1,800 feet from chamber 4 out into the open and made it in the dark, scrambling over bodies as they came out. And when they came out into the open, a big cheer went up because people in Crested Butte thought, boy, maybe we're going to get a miracle here and maybe other guys are going to come out. Unfortunately, 20 men who tried to come out were died within 200 feet of getting out of the mine. They were completely uninjured, but because the fan had been smashed into smithereens by the explosion, they ran out of air. And these guys were found with handkerchiefs over their mouths. They just ran out of air, 200 feet to go.
Miners from surrounding mines stopped their work to come out and help with the dead. At the time, it was the largest mine disaster in Colorado. Today, it stands as the third most tragic of all times. The explosion happened in January. There was likely a thick blanket of snow over the cemetery, and in order to get through the snow, it would have taken many hands, and maybe even some dynamite to shatter the frozen ground. The miners were likely Welsh and Irish, and they were known as Cousin Jacks, as Dr. Vandenbush explains.
If one guy was killed in a mine, a fellow would go up to the foreman and say, hey, my cousin Jack can do that. So they're called Cousin Jacks, and their wives were called Cousin Jennies.
The miners likely didn't have much of a connection to the town. They were probably here just to work the coal mines and move on. In those days, the work was so dangerous that miners were almost seen as disposable. Only 5 of the men killed that day had any sort of family. And none of the families stuck around after the disaster. But this summer, the miners who died in the Jokerville mine disaster will finally be memorialized at their final resting place just outside of the town of Crested Butte. You can hear Dr. Vandenbush's full presentation at kbut.org. For KBUT, I'm Chad Rich.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.